Okay, hi everyone. Welcome to the session of Successful Continuous Application Delivery Practices. This is part of the DevOps track, so hope you're in the right room. My name is Eran Sher. I'm one of the founders of Nolio. We are the company who invented application release automation. That was done already in 2006. And last year, we came up with a new concept called continuous application delivery, which we will talk about it today. A bit of my background, I worked for many years at Mercury Interactive. Those of you are familiar, so a lot of experience with test automation and with IT management, specifically on application monitoring. And one of the unique experiences that I had at Mercury back in the year of 2000 was to develop application and build the first SaaS data center that Mercury delivered. So we had to operate a SaaS data center for enterprise customers. So I've been where you guys have been and know the challenges of building application and releasing application to such complex data centers. And that was, you know, those were the roots for founding Nolio. With me is Mo Opal.
Hi there, guys. My name's Mo. I work for Bupa. Bupa is a private medical... It is. The green light's on. Shall I move this up a little bit? There you go. I can hear an echo. Can you guys hear me okay now?
Yeah.
Hey. Projection. I work for Bupa. Bupa is a private medical insurance company. You can probably tell from my accent, I'm not a local. I'm from London. Bupa's stated mission in life is to help people live happier and longer and healthier lives. My background is very much development. I've come from a development background. For the past 2 years, I've been working in Bupa UK's release management team, heading that up, and most recently working with Nolio on implementing that platform to help crack some of our deployment automation challenges.
So in the session today, we will cover what is continuous application delivery, what are the benefits, why would you like to implement that, and most of the session is going to be Mo's session, talking about how they implemented best practices to implement successful continuous application delivery. So let's start with what is continuous application delivery. Step one, what is application delivery before talking about continuous? The way we like to describe it, it's the process from aha to ka-ching. So, okay, that's... And you know, you have all these amazing ideas on one hand, but until they get to production environment, they actually don't create value for your customers or for your internal users. Now, two very big transformations happened in the last few years. On the aha side, it's of course the adoption of agile development best practices and methodologies. So developers have the ability now to produce more software changes and faster on one hand. Second transformation on the production line, the adoption of virtualization technologies, cloud technologies, configuration management, server provisioning technologies allow the infrastructure team, the IT operations team, to build the environment faster with less cost and ability to scale as well. So you have a lot of software packages ready to go to a ready environment, but that transportation layer, that delivery, is the problem. And what's happening today, it typically looks like that. You have a lot of stages, you have a lot of silos. Each silo would do their own deployments. Each silo would use their own repository system. Sometimes different silos would do different type of builds. Manual handoffs between the silos. Different approval system between them. So the process is very manual, very long, time consuming, and also involve a lot of costs. And let me show you an example. How does it look like?
I hope you guys got popcorn.
Reasonable. Fetch it a mush. Quiet, fetch it a mush. Right. George!
have a plan.
Okay. Thank you. So it looks familiar. So now the solution. So continuous delivery. So let's start with the formal definition of continuous delivery, which is actually the full automation of the key elements, the key components, build, deploy, test, and release. So you can automatically deliver any software package to any environment, from development to production. I would also add to that formal definition at any given time. And Mo will talk about their ability to do on-demand releases as well. By the way, any ideas about the difference between deploy and release? Because there are a lot of confusion about this term. So just at least the terminology that we're using, deployment is the actual release activities in each of the environments on the server configuration to complete a release in a certain environment, or to complete a deployment, sorry. Release is the process of deployment to production. It's in the later stages, and it's also involves some other release operations. Load balancers, configurations such as those, as well as approval system and getting approval from change management system and so on. So let's review the basic components of continuous delivery system to get you from dev to production. The first building block is continuous integration or build automation, and that gives you the ability to create a lot of builds very fast on one hand, but also to track errors as early as possible in the process. Once you have successful builds, the next element is to put those artifacts into a repository. And more important, to version it. Everything needs to be in control, so the same version later on can be promoted to the different environments. Another key element is not just the artifact repository, but the configuration repository, both on the application level as well as the environment level. And again, those configuration needs to be versioned. The next element in continuous delivery is test automation. This is critical, this is crucial, because you have to have with so many builds happening, you have to have the ability to automatically test those and test those very fast. Unit testing, some of the tests are done on the continuous integration server, but you must also do the test automation on your a functional level, load and performance and such. We see new methodologies and new practices today with test automation, such as parallel testing and service virtualization as well to enhance those. And as we go into the higher environment, you must integrate with the release managements and approval system that are being managed by the IT operation, whether those are the infrastructure provisioning to spin up environments, whether those are the configuration management to configure the servers and prepare the environment, and of course the change management system. So you can only promote when you have an approval from a change management system. What is missing today? The continuous application delivery layer. And the continuous application delivery layer allows you to bind all the release data from all the sources on one hand, automate any release to any environment, promote the release across the environment, and integrate with the IT management system to get approval and have a complete reporting system of the entire release cycle that you have. Why? What are the benefits? What will you gain if you will do it? Of course, reducing release errors. We know that today manual and scripted releases are very error prone. A lot of steps being done by many people, and errors happens. Same as reducing release time. Releases are taking today hours and days instead of minutes. Mo will talk about it. Reducing release cost. Releases today are being in an orchestrated way. A group of 5, 10, 15 people needs to coordinate a release. One person can do it and do multiple releases on multiple environments. You want a standardized release process, so you'll be able to control your release in all the environments and across all the teams. Of course, manageability is key. If you do not measure, you cannot manage. When you implement automation, every step, every release is being measured and controlled. Auditing and security, you want to know who has the rights to do a deployment or permission to do a deployment in a certain environment, in a certain time, on a certain application or a certain release. And most important in my aspect is scale. And when I'm talking about scale, if you implement continuous application delivery, it's the ability to go from 10 releases a month, which probably most of you are doing today manually or scripted, to 1,000 releases a month. One of our customers reported last month 5,000 releases. That's the scale we're talking about if you implement continuous application delivery. It is a transformation, but you can do it in a very short period of time. And Mo will tell you how they did it in their organization. So with that, I'll turn it over to Mo.
Thank you, Aaron. So just I'm going to sort of set the scene in terms of where we were. It was a journey for us. It was a journey over the course of about 8 months in total. We're an organization which is about 50 years old. For half of our history, we've had systems in place, so we have a lot of legacy. So this stuff that we've done is not websites, it's not a few config files being changed here and there to enable new features. These are big, heavyweight transactional systems that we were working with at Bupa. So at the beginning of 2011, Bupa decided to initiate a big business transformation program. It was going to be enabled through an agile transformation. So the IS department was going to be delivering stuff in an agile, scrum-based way. The ask was to increase the frequency and speed of delivery to deliver that change program, as is the way with agile. And within our team, we felt that we just weren't well positioned to deliver on that ask because of the way in which we were geared up with tooling, with our process, with our procedure. It wasn't even waterfall. So this stuff had grown up over time. It was grown up organically. And we wanted to sort of reduce the cost of ownership associated with it. I know that's a term that's often overused, but it was hard to get new stuff onboarded. It was hard to get stuff progressed. And there was going to be a lot of it on this change program. So to give you an idea, we've got about 30 test environments. They vary in shapes and sizes. We've got single server development test environments for business teams that can't administer their own test environments. We've got production class environments. So we weren't just deploying to production, but we had disaster recovery, performance test, staging, as well as the integration and system test environments. The sort of technology landscape that permeated those environments consisted of Windows Server, IIS, BizTalk, legacy applications, key line of business, insurance administration systems, we're an insurance company, as well as the sort of infrastructure side of things. We had Oracle, SQL, F5 load balancers, virtualization. And just to add a little bit of added spice to our challenge, we've got two data centers across two geographically dispersed sites, which means that deployments, we don't have the luxury of just doing deployments at one site. We've got to go over a wet piece of string, which connects the two data centers. So we needed to be mindful of those challenges. So this slide I put together simply to sort of impress upon those of you who perhaps work in smaller environments that as our environments grew, the amount of tin in those environments grew. You go from a single server environment to a 30 server environment to a 100 server environment. Your challenges grow accordingly. It's just like testing. If you don't find your defect early enough in the testing cycle, it's going to become more and more expensive to fix later on. The same goes for releases. If you don't catch issues at the outset of your deployment, then it's going to get harder and harder to find an issue in a log file that is spread across 100 servers compared to a smaller environment where you've got a single server or two servers perhaps. So we've got some fairly large environments for an organization of our sort. We're not an IT shop, we're an insurance company at the end of the day. So casting your mind back to the slide that Iran put up earlier, this is, so Iran did the science bit. I just want to put some sort of concrete detail over the scenario that he talked you through there. The situation at Bupa was we had a release team. It was geared up to do one release day a week. So on Wednesdays, we would be deploying to about four environments. Wednesday was key because it was the end of the Scrum cycle. We would have 2-week sprints. Tuesday night would be an overnight build. We'd get a build on Wednesday. That would then go out to the various environments. We were ill-positioned to deal with some of the required step changes that people were asking us for because there was a lot of development going on. We had several suppliers providing new deliveries to us on a regular basis, and those things were changing shapes and sizes with each week that passed. We weren't really being engaged with those suppliers. There was a, you know, I've said there's a lack of pipeline visibility. The way the organization was structured at the time was we had a build management team and a release management team. I looked after the release management team, but our handoffs between build management and release management were a little disconnected. There was a lack of engagement there. Part of that stemmed from developers were not always convinced we'd be able to onboard their components in time. So they were often submitting scripts. They were often sort of telling us how we could do the release. But the problem is developers understand development environments. They don't understand multi-server, load-balanced, virtualized infrastructures. So handoffs weren't great between build, between developers, and between release management. And consequently, because of all these disconnects, we couldn't be as, I'm going to use the A word, we couldn't be as agile as the ask was from our management. Team capabilities were obviously going to be viewed as an impediment. We were constantly being pulled up in retrospectives in the at the end of the scrums. And so we weren't in a very good place as a team, given the sort of capabilities that we needed to come good on. Okay, so yeah, so I would dress up like a rabbit on a Wednesday and be caught in headlights every time somebody came to me and said, we've got to change the release that's going to go on release Wednesday. And the truth of the matter is it was a bit of a nightmare initially when we did Agile because you could never be certain what release you would get. So the aspiration really was, look, we need to take a step back from what we're doing today, how we're doing it today, and we need the ability to say go, and you guys go. You guys do a release, and there's no rolling of eyes. There's no impediment to you being able to get that release out into a test environment. And we wanted to kind of bridge the gap between development, build, and our release teams. And the only way we could really do that was if we were all doing things in the same way, rather than the build management team sort of deploying stuff using some Wix-based stuff, some NAND scripts, some PowerShell scripts, some VB scripts. So there wasn't consistency in what was being done, and it wasn't being done across the board. When stuff would come to us, we would then use our own mechanisms to promote into the larger environments all the way up to production. So continuous application delivery was seen as a bit of a solution to our challenges to enable us to go from dev to QA to production in a consistent manner. So going back to my point about being an old organization with lots of legacy, with lots of heritage in our systems estate, you're not going to fix all those problems overnight. And we didn't, and we couldn't. So the outset of that engagement with Nolio, what we decided to do was almost a dry run. So we did a foundation exercise. We said, look, at the end of the day, everything that we do between the various components and deliveries that we get, there are common aspects to them. Setting up an IIS website is an IIS website. Setting up a folder structure on some server is a folder structure on some server. They're not new problems. So what we said was, look, let's take an application, let's take a hard application, let's try and crack some of the most, what I would say are common denominator problems which span all our applications, all our components, and work out from there. So we picked our insurance administration system, a system called Swift, which is our main line of business application that supports the UK operation. It exhibited the most common problems across our estate, and really the idea was to identify whether we were sort of headed in the same direction. There's no manual on this stuff, there's no book on this stuff. Yes, there are best practices, but at the end of the day, the problems were very unique to our organization in as much as our systems were concerned. So we wanted to ensure that our approach and tooling was going to be supportive of the direction we wanted to head in. And then we addressed those. So where we wanted to get to was same problem, different environments, different components. Why can't we use a cookie cutter approach? Why do you need to come up with a new script every time a new component is delivered? Because it's subtly different. Why can't you accommodate that and absorb that into a standardized process? So that's what we wanted to end up with. So that was the end goal. So drilling down a little bit further, step one was really about getting some insight. Given that a lot of this stuff had been around for a dozen or so years, we wanted to break down each step of the deployment for the various components that we had, initially for the one application that we picked, but it was a big application. It sits across about 50 servers of various types, and understand whether some of that stuff was still required. So we were doing things which were documented, but a lot of that documentation hadn't been maintained. New documentation wasn't always forthcoming, even though the applications we knew were changing. So we wanted to work out whether there was fat in there that we could cut out. Then we had a look at the actual release package that was being handed over to us by the build management teams. Now, the way this was all set up was we actually had several different build management teams, and consequently, there was no standard across. Some of these were third parties, some of these were internal suppliers. So we wanted to come up with almost a canonical, standardized structure for handing release packages over to us. We settled on zip files, having agreed it with the build team, and the idea was really they give us a set of zip files which we can rely on as being consistent, and that is what gets promoted across all the environments. It was done for each component in the end. We're still working on that, so it's work in progress, but all the components we've tackled so far are being delivered in that way now. So it's very simple. These aren't MSI files. We're not selling this product to a third party, so we can afford to keep it simple, and we have done. It was done for each server type. And by the end of that initial wave of knowledge gathering, of talking to our build teams, of getting together with our developers, people who weren't always prepared to work closely with us because it was almost as if we couldn't come good on what they needed us to do. So we wanted to break down some of those barriers which existed to try and get close to their world, to show them that we wanted to understand, to show them that actually there's merit in helping us to help them. And ultimately with Nolio, and you'll see a screenshot later on in the presentation, what we wanted to do was, having regained that lost insight, that lost knowledge around how some of our stuff worked, how some of our stuff really truly needed to be deployed, wanted to enshrine it in a solution which was visible to all. It wasn't hidden away, there wasn't a black box that no one could get at, it wasn't magic. So the next wave of activity was to bring that first line of business application that we picked, having done a foundation exercise around it, that was throwaway, and we decided to take that forward. That was a 3-month long exercise initially. The irony is that we could have done it in about 3 weeks, but the problem was, because it was all automated in a way that was just treated as a black box, it took a long time to reverse engineer and work out what it was actually doing. And so the one application that we had automated deployments around actually took us a long time to do. But later on, a lot of those components that we did manually or we'd taken on board recently, they were done in a matter of days, actually, in many, many cases. So the point about, I haven't got numbers here, but our old solution for the Swift application was taking about 40 minutes to an hour to deploy, and now it's minutes. So in smaller environments, we can do a deployment in 6 minutes. In larger environments, we can do a deployment in about 15 minutes. And that's 15 minutes in production for a solution that was taking over 2 hours to do in live on a Saturday, on a release weekend. And whilst we still have release weekends, we don't do a lot anymore. Having sort of got to a point where we were using Nolio, we were using our new solution, we standardized the onboarding process, talking to our development teams, talking to our build teams, all of a sudden, the people that weren't particularly happy with where we were in terms of capability, in terms of how we were deploying, in terms of the consistency in what we were deploying, actually generated some interest. People were, instead of saying, we're not going to give it to you, we'll just give you some scripts and you'll run those scripts, were actually coming to us and saying, look, we're bringing this new component on board next week or next month and next sprint. And actually, what do we do to get this into Nolio? And that meant that we were now engaged at the outset of new stuff being done rather than sort of playing catch up all the time or reactive on release Wednesday. So we've got our application into Nolio. We've got our new platform in place. We've started to onboard additional components. And by the time that we were actually using this in the bulk of our test environments, we hadn't gone live yet, we decided to actually put some frills around the solution. Now, the reason we did this, because just a little bit more background. On the Wednesday, when we got environments, we would take environments down at about noon. Our test fraternity would not be handed those environments back until the next morning. About 5 o'clock is when we'd committed to hand those back to them so that the offshore team could come in and start testing. So that kind of period, that blackout period between noon on a Wednesday and 5 a.m. on a Thursday, nobody really outside the team really understood what was going on or why we did that. And the reason we did that was because we had released to a whole bunch of environments. We wouldn't hand those environments back until we were absolutely confident. We'd done all our deployments, there weren't any hidden gremlins, and we weren't going to be bitten by something that was unexpected. So we've now got to a point where having added some automated deployment verification tests, having put some configuration validation checks and implemented an email notification system at the outset of deployment, at the end of deployment, that goes out to all the stakeholders. So people see that we're doing stuff, people see how long we're doing stuff, when we're doing stuff. They can see when it goes wrong too, and it does go wrong from time to time, but that's because someone hasn't done their homework and prepped the release properly. It isn't because a process is broke. That visibility and that connection with the people that we're delivering environments to means that there's a level of trust there that just didn't exist before. There's a level of assurance we can give them as well to say, look, actually, when you get that email, that means it's yours. You don't have to wait for us until 5 in the morning the next day. So now the downtime in those environments has come down significantly. It's come down from something like over 14 hours down to a matter of an hour or so. And the only reason it's an hour is because we haven't got all our deployment verification tests in there. That's something we're working towards. So at this point, everything was still being triggered with right-click deploy. And we hadn't quite got to that point where the nightly builds could be relied upon to go from build into a test environment automatically. So the Scrum environments that we had were still under the auspices of our build management team because they were aligned with development. And what we wanted to do was leverage a capability within Nolio, which basically puts a Nolio add-in on the TFS application tier. And when a build switches to a certain status, the add-in picks that up. It invokes a web service called InterNolio, specifying the release and specifying the environment. And it just happens from there on in. Now, we have a nightly build. And what we wanted to do was ensure that there were no hands involved. So when that build was scheduled to kick off, we used TFS to orchestrate the shutdown of the environment. We used TFS to orchestrate the release to the database side of things, which is Oracle and on Unix. And we use TFS to invoke the Nolio deployment process. Once that is all done, TFS is then responsible for bringing that environment back online and running a whole bunch of deployment verification tests, which tests all the pipework between the various components that we've just deployed. So we've also sort of started to Nolio enable additional deployables. And the key thing here is that whereas before, the build management team was using their own thing, they were out on a limb. We never used their process to go live. So we were always sort of on the back foot a little bit at the point where a release would come from the build management team into the release management team to deploy into the more mature environments. And we discover, okay, they've missed a certain config file. Their deployment process isn't cognizant of the fact that this setting hasn't been set properly because that bit of functionality is new and hasn't been tested or isn't actively flexed at the outset. Whereas our processes do. We check the release notes, we check what functionality is new, and we test that before we hand it back, hand that environment back to the testers. So having got Nolio into all our environments, having got our new solution working end-to-end across all those environments, meant that if it broke, it broke in Scrum. It broke in the development test environment, so you got it right at the beginning in those very small environments where you maybe have one or two or three or four servers, not 20 or 40 or 80 servers. And that visibility meant that there was a degree of sort of confidence amongst the development fraternity and the test fraternity, which meant, again, people were more than happy to do deployments because early using this new solution, because it meant you could surface issues which would otherwise have gone unnoticed all the way into integration or UAT. And at that point, we would have been there. You know, there have been days when I've turned up on a Wednesday and gone home on a Thursday. And it was because it was deployment day and deployments hadn't gone according to plan. So continuous deployment of our nightly build every single day into the Scrum environment has fixed a lot of the problems that we were constantly reacting to. And because of partly because of the way that we've managed that relationship with our developers, our build management team, and ourselves, we kind of inherited a degree of traceability. We've also baked in quite a bit of traceability right the way from development through to production. So we can see what release went where, when. And whether it failed or succeeded, and if it failed, what failed. So that is all in that sort of end-to-end solution across our estate in any given environment. You can go to any given environment at any point in time and see what's there, what was there previously, and whether it was there right or wrong. So that was the bulk of the effort that we made. To streamline our process between development, build, release, delivery, and operations. We kind of deprecated the old build management team solution. We deprecated our own automation solution. We came up with a unified approach which worked across all our environments. So, I mean, we discovered some very interesting things, like service packs weren't there. In certain environments, it hadn't been there for about 4 years. No one had noticed them. We've since addressed that. We've spoken to the patch management people. They've now got those servers in their sites. So all of this exercise has served to align ourselves better with the rest of the organization, because this estate kind of grew up quite organically over a period of time. Again, these aren't websites. These are old systems. We've been able to bring in a degree of, it's almost a cleansing exercise across our estate. We haven't rebuilt very many servers, but we have got them into a consistent state. And because they're in a consistent state, if you get an error in one environment, you're pretty certain that you're going to get it in the rest of the environments. And if you get it at the beginning, then you have to deal with it at the end. So this was a point about on-demand releases that Iran alluded to earlier. Remember, we were that team that delivered 4 or 5 releases a week on a Wednesday, dressed up in a bunny rabbit suit. And we just don't care. I mean, we can do a release in the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening. I was telling you around this morning, I got an email come through this morning saying, oh, I've done 13 releases today and I've only just started. So that's on one day. That's like during the morning. We did some stats recently for a report to our management, and we were deploying at peak 6 out of 7 days in a week. We'd done something in the order of, on that particular week, 22 deployments. That's just for the one application that we initially onboarded, so that line of business application. As of about 2 weeks ago, we've onboarded a number of BizTalk applications. Each BizTalk application exponentially increases the number of deployments we're doing. So whilst we're not on a par with the 10 deployments to 1,000 deployments trajectory, we're headed in that direction. So Visibility and transparency through everything we've done, by talking to our developers, by engaging with our build teams, by talking to our operations people, getting alignment across the estate. It's about a 500 server estate, so sort of medium-sized estate, I guess. But it was a very varied estate, some of it physical, some of it virtual, some of it built by Joe Blog, some of it built by John Doe in two different teams. Really suffered with inconsistency across that estate. And having engaged with those teams, having sort of held our hand up and said, look, you know what, we know we haven't got it right, work with us, break down some of those barriers. It's not you and us, or them and us, or him and her, and it's we for this business. If you don't do your job right, if we don't do this deployment right, if that server isn't built consistently, the guy in the call center suffers, and it's an error that no one can find out because some patch is missing or some prerequisite isn't there. So just on this point, development, I mean, a lot of you are developers, don't mean to diss developers. I used to be a developer. But developers do have this ethos of, look, you know what, I can just quickly knock some code up and I can fix this problem for you. It's like, okay, will it fix it in production? Will it fix it in UAT? Will it fix it in a multi-server environment? And sort of engaging with those guys, talking to those guys, showing them what we did. We actually demoed the solution at key sort of milestones within the initiative that we were running, meant that they actually got the fact that actually the development environment looks nothing like the real thing. It's a very different beast. And so we don't get that push as much. We still get a little bit. Oh, I can do this really quickly for you. I can knock up some PowerShell. And that's fine, you can. And in a development test environment, if you want to, okay, but look, we've worked really hard to get alignment, and people recognize that once you start to slip, it's a very slippery slope, and you end up on your backside very quickly. So we try and, not enforce, but we try and strongly encourage people to stick with the solution that we've implemented so that we don't slip backwards. And yeah, it is a case of whatever it is, it's possible. It doesn't happen overnight still, but because we have this cookie-cutter approach, 8 times out of 10, the existing solution can be brought to bear on whatever new components are being directed our way, as long as it's in the agreed zip file format, as long as we understand the dependencies and prerequisites for those components, it's very possible. So that screenshot's horrendous, and you can't read it, and you're not supposed to read it. However, all I really want to say here is that my management was very supportive of what we did. I was asked to present once midway through, and the thing that really stuck out, because they wanted to make sure we hadn't bought some shelfware. We hadn't, at least that's what I said to them. And the thing that really sort of, in that whole hour-long presentation, the thing that stuck out in our senior manager's sort of mind was, I can see what you guys are doing when you click a button, because that is it. That is your solution. It's not hidden away in custom actions in some MSI. It's not some obscure inline C-sharp in some NANT. It's a picture that runs. It's real. It's WYSIWYG. Recently we've been onboarding some offshore staff, onshore, and you can actually point at stuff and say, it does this here, it does this here, it does this here, and it makes the whole process of educating people. I'm not saying you guys use Noli, I'm just saying that the solution we've ended up with has meant that that intangible cost that we were suffering from is now very addressable, and to a large extent has been addressed. It's not simple. But if it was simple, everybody would be able to do it. It's simple enough now, and that was the key thing that we wanted to achieve. I'm guessing there are some managers here. I wanted to put a graph in just because you guys like numbers and stuff. So remember, we were that team that we had one day, Wednesday, Bunny Rabbit Day, Where we did deployments. Today, actually, these are very conservative figures, by the way, this just so I could still make eye contact with my colleagues when I go back. But we actually can deploy on any day, and we have been, and we regularly deploy on 4, 5, 6 days a week. We typically deploy to about 8 or 9 environments in a week, but actually today we've deployed to about 13 different environments. With about 16 different deployments, so I guess 3 didn't go too well. And we've managed to achieve a degree of resource efficiencies. We haven't got rid of people. That was not the objective. We haven't done that. What we have done, though, is not ring-fenced half a dozen people or an army of people for Wednesdays to make sure everybody goes home on the same day. Now, and actually the direction in which we're headed, one person can do the majority of deployments. So anything that's been onboarded onto our sort of automation platform can be done by one person, and it can be done with confidence. You can be assured that you'll get a consistent result, you'll get the same result, no matter how many times they right-click deploy. So we were doing 15, 16 releases, maybe 17 releases a month prior to this initiative, prior to this business transformation program kicking off. We're now doing about 100 releases. Again, a very conservative figure, and actually that has now gone up. That's probably gone up by another 50% because we've onboarded our BizTalk components. So that's all automated deployments. It's no hands. I think we're done, Iran.
Yeah.
Well, and ahead of time. No, so any questions? No tomatoes? Yes, sir.
When you said that deployments are triggered from TFS, or is that tied into like build quality? So does somebody say, okay, I'm going to change this build quality?
No, it is.
There are two ways that the integration is working. One is through the build quality.
Oh, sorry, question to be repeated. The question is, when the TFS add-in triggers the Nolio deployment, how is that triggered? What is that interchange? Is it triggered using build qualities?
Yeah. So one way is using the quality trigger, and that trigger an Nolio deployment. And the other one is automatically. So every time you have a build generated, it will trigger an Nolio workflow to do the deployment of that build and initiate the testing just after that as well.
Just an extension of a continuous build, a continuous integration build.
Yeah.
So the stuff that we've got in TFS is what builds our code. It's what gives us the binaries. And then we've got some steps in TFS to craft a release package. So it's what produces the directory structure, which gets zipped up, and then that gets dropped onto a shared location, a secure shared location, that Nolio then picks up. Okay. So that's the extent of orchestration, if you like, within TFS. I can't do that, they're recording it.
Another question. Does this work with Windows Azure yet?
Yes. I'm not sure if
you're not at Bupa. We're using Azure. Yeah. But Nolio is able to invoke most web. I mean, it can consume RESTful APIs. So if you've got a web service API, it can invoke it and orchestrate. Oh, young lady.
Sorry, I don't have a mic. What is the kind of complexity you have in your application deployment? Do you have multiple team projects generating multiple build definitions, and a release is composed of more of those, or is it a one-to-one management?
So it's a combination. So we've got different teams providing us with release packages. So we've got for Swift, which is our line of business app. Yes, there's a build definition which does all that churn for us. But then we've also got a BizTalk, quite a significant BizTalk setup, and that's using, can I say cruise control here without getting shot? But cruise control, only because that's how they started out 5 or 6 years ago. Cruise control, MS Build, Microsoft SDC tasks, and so that's how they do it. And some people do it by hand. Our legacy guys just, they can't use that those solutions And so therefore, they craft their own release package by hand. But it needs to be in a standardized format. So if you've got something that's been funneled to us in a consistent way, we can deal with it. So, do you mean at Bupa or within Nolio? So that you can go first then.
Okay. So we see many types of examples. One can mainly in a database or flat files. I would say very few hold this information in a CMDB. We haven't seen a lot of successful implementation of CMDBs. Majority would have it in a database or a flat file.
I mean, for config at Bupa. Essentially, it ends up in an XML file. We do have a CMDB. I'm going to say it's really up to date. But we also have a spreadsheet. And that spreadsheet generates some XML on a per component basis for all environments. To give you an example, one environment for all components deployed in that environment, we have about 600 configurable items. Remember, this is not a website. So that's business and configuration stuff that changes between environments. And then that gets fused into a set of tokenized files. We effectively end up with instances of those files, again, all through Nolio. And we do a check right at the end, I alluded to it in my slide deck, where we actually check to see if any tokens haven't been replaced. And that has been a big sort of sticking point between build management and release management teams, where they're not always communicated, so we're not always savvy to them. Does that answer your question?
Yes. Okay.
Thank you.
Are you guys using this for deploying database changes?
So the question is, sorry, I forgot to repeat the questions. Are we using this solution to deploy database changes? Yes and no. In the Scrum environments, where TFS is orchestrating the whole sort of deployment mechanics, we're not using Nolio, but we are using the TFS orchestration to trigger a deployment on the Unix side. So there's a cron job that runs on Unix, an FTP file gets sent over. We have a release process, which is homegrown, to be fair, so there's some scripting in there still. But it's a pretty resilient process. And when the proposition was taken to the DBA team, say, look, do you want to come into the fold and join the party? They were of the view that they could deploy faster than us, and so they were fine. It turns out it takes them 3 to 4 times as long now, so they might want to join the party when we get back.
Yeah, in many cases, our customers deploying to databases as well, but for some reason, I don't know why, the DBAs like the manual stuff and like to be in control. So it is a good point, but once you show results, now it easily you can show where the bottleneck is, and it's the database deployment. So that's the next thing to automate and put into the process. Yes.
Yeah.
So you showed a lot of dashboards, right? Are those out of box from Nolio, or do you do a lot of work to configure those for the industry or what are
dashboards?
So the dashboards, the graph that you the management used to see, and you know all those.
Okay, so that graph. So the question is, does Nolio produce all this, all the graphing and the reporting stuff? That graph was not Nolio, that was me and Excel. However, reporting is built into Nolio, and yes, you can get number of deployments done, who did them, how many were successful. There's a whole bunch of stuff I'm sure Hiran can expand on.
Reporting and dashboard, what was important in this graph is to show you before and after. So that was a great idea by Mo, and we're adding it to the product. So before you start an implementation, you would put the manual figures, and then you'll get this automatically done and show improvement to management.
Any more? Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
I hope it was useful.